Quinn Kelly, Johnny Rourke, Brendan Connolly. This is the Sports Exchange on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome in. Another Sunday night here at 95.9 WATD. Spring has sprung. We're back live. Very happy to be here. And we've got a big show. A lot of ground to cover, but we're going to start off the top with a few in-studio guests. So we're going to welcome in from the Eastern Mass Association of Interscholastic Football Officials. Say that three times fast. Current President Brian Andrade, Jack Aruca, the current secretary, and Rich Newman, a former president. Welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us. And we wanted to talk a little bit tonight because you guys are getting ready for the upcoming fall season. It's been a topic of conversation for some time now that there is an official shortage going on across the state and really outside of Massachusetts. But as we're concerned with it here locally, you guys very intimately know the effects of that. So let's open it up just first and foremost with how people can get involved with your program.
Quinn, thanks for having us here today. Football officials, all sports officials, there's a national shortage of football officials, and for a number of reasons. And our association, the Eastern Mass Association, we're based in Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
We cover service areas from Quincy to Nauset on the Cape, west to Seekonk in Fall River, and north to Randolph. So we cover a large service area. And over the years, football, our officiating group has been shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
It was negatively impacted by COVID when we lost the fall season. And then we had the short spring season. Several members who were close to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that retirement was okay, and they didn't miss the football. So what we're doing is we're trying to spread the word that officiating is a great avocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, great camaraderie. And our association, as well as all the football officiating associations, our mission is to train and educate officials.
Mm-hmm.
New officials come in, they're called candidates, and we have a candidate class starting on May 3rd. It's a hybrid model, so you can take the classes at home,
mm-hmm.
and over the summer you'll receive some on-field instruction, and you'll be ready to go in late August to get on the field. We're adapting to the times where, with COVID especially, we couldn't meet.
Right.
Veteran officials, we have to meet at least 8 times a year for reviewing rules.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a large commitment to it.
Tell me, for somebody who's interested, as you said, May 3rd, candidates classes will start. Do you need any background? Do you have to have any experience to join, or is this something that anybody who's interested can sign up for and get involved?
Rich or Brian, you want to take this?
Absolutely no. No prior experience is necessary. Some of the guys on the board have played football. Most probably have played through the high school mm-hmm. years, but there are some that have no experience at all, and they can be just as good officials and have just as good a career as those who have played. So anyone can join. Men or women are welcome.
Awesome.
Jack, I spoke with the MIAA about a month ago, and you guys made a big emphasis about trying to attract younger candidates as possible referee replacements. What are some of the programs you guys have implemented to try and bring in younger officials?
Brian, you want to take this?
Well, as Jack mentioned a moment ago, we've got a hybrid situation with regard to recruitment mm-hmm. and how the candidates go from class to class, session to session, before they hit the field. So to entice younger people to become interested, to become part of our group, to officiate football with us, we have, and we're in the process of, creating a podcast so that we are recruiting people from a different age group with regard to who spends more time or a larger amount of time listening to podcasts or being involved with a podcast. Mm-hmm. And part of the hybrid model is the opportunity to take the course anytime you'd like to take it. When we came in back in the day, you had to go on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night, whatever right. night of the week it was, and spend the 3 hours in class and go to 8, 10, 12 classes. And then we're given an exam and then pass the exam mm-hmm. and see if you're qualified on the field. They put you through some mechanics and show you how to walk your way through things. Well, what we've done now is incorporated an online learning model whereby we have 10, 11 sessions already in place online, so that if someone were interested, and we were just talking about it a moment ago privately, if someone were interested on February 14th, they could start the course on February 14th. If they were interested on, became interested on October 7th, they could start the course on October 7th. And we've got a proctor, we've got an actual teacher that's not a board member, mm-hmm. that is an educator now. We've installed that person in place, and he would follow up on a weekly basis with the new candidates as they took the course or went through the sessions to make sure that they understood session one before they moved to session two. So 10 sessions could essentially be done in 2 weeks if you, right. you wanted to follow your way through it and do it as quickly as possible, and you'd still get the most out of it, because our educator is second to none. Chris won't leave any stone unturned making sure that you understand before you move to the next level.
Excellent. So that's a little bit of an overview about, you know, what it takes to enter into the EMA FIO. I'm sorry, I'm messing that up. But tell me a little bit about what the commitment that you can expect should you join and be accepted and make it through the training. What kind of a commitment does it require of you?
We have... the commitment is, the training is rules-based and also mechanics. So we work with our folks. We have mentors assigned so that the new officials have someone who can bring them along mm-hmm. and really help them to become accustomed to being on the field. We want people to be successful. We want people to come in. And first of all, you've got to love the game and love sports, and that's really the requirement, mm-hmm. That you enjoy it, because it is. It's fun. It's a lot of fun working the games. Being part of Friday Night Lights is wonderful. Being part of a Thanksgiving Day game is wonderful. It takes you back to when you were in high school.
Yeah.
You know, all the emotions come back. So it's first and foremost, it's a lot of fun. Our commitment to the candidates and to each other is to support each other on the field, help each other, and also to become better. Hopefully, what we want to do is help all our officials go as far as they want in this avocation. Mm-hmm. For example, one fellow who was in our my training class back in 1999, Milt Britton, is in the ACC. He's gone very, very far. Mm-hmm. Some of us elect to stay in the high school level. So if someone is willing to put the work in, we're there to support them and help them get as far as they want in their careers. A lot of our officials work college games, Division II and III throughout New England. But there's a large number of us who stay in the high school level. So as far as you want to go in this field, it's up to you, you know, to put in the work. And it's very competitive. Mm-hmm. It's not football is not an easy game to administer. Mm-hmm. The rule book is huge. It's thick. As you know, on Sunday when you're watching the NFL.
Correct.
And they have some of the older officials chiming in to explain calls and things like that. So it's, I think the biggest commitment we ask from people is to put the time in, mm-hmm. you know, and really love it.
Excellent.
Well that's if I could
please
piggyback what Jack's saying with regard to commitment and the rules. That's part of the commitment that you're making if you join the EMAAFO. You're committing to a meeting every week. Mm-hmm. We meet once a week.
Okay.
We've moved those meetings to Wednesday nights now from Thursday night because it's more accommodating with regard to sub-varsity football that's played on Thursday nights and some of the varsity games even on Friday and Saturday, the likelihood of them moving some of those to Thursday night to help accommodate the bulk of games that are played on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we moved our meetings to Wednesday nights. So we've got a meeting a week. I think we have 2 weeks off during the course of the season. So the commitment is once a week, but it's not so daunting that every Wednesday, because we take a couple of weeks off. And last year we had a get-together for the group on one of those off weeks where we dined and shared each other's company over dinner mm-hmm. on a week that we didn't have a meeting. This is a real brotherhood. You're talking about joining a group that's not dissimilar to being in the public eye as a fireman or a policeman or even in the service. That commitment to each other exists there. But as far as a new candidate, it'd be Wednesday night commitments, and then sub-varsity games at the high school level are normally played on Monday and Thursday, sometimes mm-hmm. on Saturday mornings. Varsity games are on some Thursdays, but Fridays and Saturdays primarily. And then there's youth football on Sunday. So if you're a new candidate and now that you're going to become a new candidate, Quinn, you're going to know that Sundays are available for youth football. Right. And that's where you really learn the game, the rules, how to deal with the game as it develops, because everyone wants their young people to be successful. And you have to know your rule 2 definitions.
Right.
You got to know passing rules in rule 7. You got to know them there a lot more often than you need to know on Friday night because those games are just the younger people. But Mondays for games, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays for games, availability for these things is important. Mm-hmm. And then the youth football on Sunday, where you're likely going to get 3 games unless you're Jack and pick up 8 games on a Sunday.
Excuse me, just 1 second. We don't want to say you have to be available all those days.
Right.
So you can make your own time availability. You know, obviously the more the better, because just the more work you'll get, the more repetitions, the more snaps you'll see. So it's important, though, I think, to do some of the youth games mm-hmm. on Sundays, and some of those are on Saturdays now. And then, you know, build your schedule as best you can. Not everyone can be available every day.
Sure.
There's work for everybody out there as long as you have some time available.
In a hypothetical sense, say I wanted to join your group here. When would I get the opportunity to call, let's say, a Super Bowl, for instance, at Gillette? How much time and effort would I have to put in? How many youth football games would I have to do? How many regular season high school games would I have to do before getting that opportunity? Because I know that is a concern that many young officials out there have.
That's a hard question to answer. I think everybody progresses at a different pace. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, it took me several years to get a varsity game. Mm-hmm. A lot of experience at the youth level, the JV and the freshman level. Some of us catch on quicker and can progress to that level. I think to keep it in perspective, I think usually to advance to like a Super Bowl, I think you're looking at maybe 3, 4, 5 years.
Okay.
Because the way we learn is the more snaps you get, mm-hmm. the more plays you see, the more freaky things that happen in a football game, the better you are. And mm-hmm. it takes time. It takes time and dedication to doing as many games as you can. And like Rich said, everybody's schedule is different. This is not a full-time job. So the more availability you have, the more games you can do. But at the same time, it's basically a lot of fun, especially high school football. It's Friday night lights. It's camaraderie mm-hmm. with your fellow officials. And, you know, it's absolutely a lot of fun.
Now, Gillette is fun, Brendan. There's no getting around that. There's no getting around working at that level, working at the high school level and having a big game on a Friday night. Every game's a big game, but when you've got a game toward the end of the season or midseason and you've got a couple of unbeaten teams, that's a nice game to have. You got competent players, competent coaching, competent officials in those games that are assigned by our commissioner. But as a precursor to the Super Bowls that you're talking about, the youth football stuff, and I'm not here trying to sell youth football. It may sound like it because I've talked about it a couple of times now, but the youth football has their own Super Bowls. So you may have a 14-year-old game or a 15-year-old game, and let me tell you, those games are high-intensity, high-level ability by the players and the coaches. Those are great precursors to work in Super Bowls, and the 4 or 5 years that Jack's talking about that you may need to work in a high school Super Bowl, you're not going to miss anything. You're going to be well prepared after having the Marshfield Scituate Super Bowl on a Sunday in late November. You're going to know what it's like before you get there. You'll be prepared.
Well, one thing I want to ask too, because I do think that for somebody that maybe hasn't played in some time or somebody that's been taking it in from the stands, I think often it's a role that doesn't look as appealing when you have parents that are more animated in the crowd that like to give an earful to the guys down on the field. But talk to me a little bit about from, you know, inside the game in your experience, the relationship with both the players and the coaches and where that respect level is and how different maybe it seems when you're on the field in the battle versus, you know, what it might seem from the outside when you're hearing from different people who might not be as in tune with the rule book.
Yeah,
3 seconds!
Yeah, you don't want to have rabbit ears, number one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, football is a passionate sport. It's a lot of intensity. A lot of intensity from the coaches on the sideline. I work the wings, so I'm on the sideline quite a bit. And the players, in my experience, I've been doing this 22 years. The players haven't changed any, in my opinion. The kids are at the high school level and the youth level. They're very involved with their sport. They've practiced hard. Football is a demanding game. It's practice, 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 practice game. So, you know, these kids have put a lot of time into their games, into learning about the game. So, at times a coach may be a little animated.
Sure.
Part of our training is to give our officials techniques for de-escalating situations. Veteran officials like Rich and Brian will model what they do to bring the intensity level down at certain sports, at certain games. So that's very helpful.
You're right, Jack. Coaches can be very animated, but this is their job. And they want their kids to play well, and they want the game called well. Now, we understand they're not unbiased. So we need to know that as we go into a game. You know, they're great before the game. They're usually great after a game. During the game, they're going to do everything they can to try to, you know, make their team play better. So we need to understand that, and we need to, you know, what they want more than anything else is communication. Talk to them. You know, explain why something's happening, why something's called, things like that. So as long as you communicate with coaches, generally, everything's fine. As Jack said, the players are great. I don't think I've ever had any problems with players. And fans, we must realize, don't necessarily know a lot about the game.
Right.
You've been there, and they have a cheering interest for one team or the other, and they're totally, you know, they look at it one way and that's it. So we need to understand that. And it was explained to me once early on that they're not yelling at you, Rich. They're yelling at your uniform.
Right.
You know, so it's not a personal thing. And we need to keep that in mind and go on to the next play.
Excellent. Well, one thing I want to hit on to here before we move on, and I just want to ask because I do feel like as somebody who is younger, and I imagine part of the age group that you're really trying to recruit in, one of the big challenges, and we've hit on it a little bit, is just Not so much that time commitment, but balancing it out and recognizing that it isn't a full-time job, and so how that dovetails with what you are doing professionally. And as three successful professionals, I was hoping you could speak to how well and how manageable it is to fit in a refereeing job with whatever you're doing in your work life.
So I'll start. When I started, I was self-employed.
Okay.
Which helped. my office was in Braintree, and our board used to meet in Braintree. So it worked out well. Soon after that, I got a real job and just needed to have some conversations with the folks I worked with. And it was pretty clear that it was important to me to try to get to some JV games.
Yep.
And certainly weekends, weekends work too. Friday nights and Saturdays usually work.
Mm-hmm.
So as time has gone on, it's been a big part of my life, officiating, no doubt about it. As time also has gone on, I've cut back a little bit on the Mondays and Friday afternoons and just primarily do Friday nights and Saturdays now. So for me, it's been, probably worked a little bit on Sundays too, gone into the office on Sundays a little more than I would have otherwise.
Mm.
So for me, it's been worth it. It's a little bit, you got to make it, you got to put a little bit of time in.
You got to want it, I guess, is what something that seems like. You're not looking for people who are saying, oh, let me do this to make a little side money. This has to be an interest for you.
Oh, absolutely. And it really comes down for a love of the game and a love of sports, because especially with football, it's a very passionate game, and we're the third team on the field,
right?
And we want to do the best that we can. We would never want to get in the way of an outcome of a game. So that's what we strive for, is to be the third team on the field, participate, and it's really nice. I think it's a lot better than coaching.
less pressure.
Well,
in some respects.
Yeah.
because we're there for the game. We administer the game. The game's over. We move on to another game.
Right.
And it really is. It's a great avocation. Balancing your life, work, family concerns. It's an issue. It really is. And that's a nature of our society, where two-income families with a few kids. There's a lot going on in a household.
Yeah.
So
that dovetailing was an outstanding word to use with regard to availability to be able to be successful at this avocation. When I talked earlier about games being played on Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and on Saturday and Sunday, as Rich alluded to, and Rich picked up on it, I didn't mean to say you needed to be available each of those days, but this is where the dovetailing comes in, Quinn. We have an assigner, or a couple, the youth football assigner, and there's a high school assigner. And knowing that you can't be available normally if you're working a full-time job on Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you tell him when you are available, and the games are assigned to you based on the availability that you give him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a software program that's used, and it's very efficient, so that the availability that you do give him comes right out of the software program that you enter for him to see.
Right.
So you may be working a 40-hour-a-week job that has 8 to 10 hours a week of overtime that you need to pick up, because that's the world we live in today, obviously.
Sure.
But you still may be available on Monday or Friday or Sunday, especially, to be able to dovetail this avocation into your work and private life. And the benefits you get from the camaraderie and the brotherhood and sisterhood that you become involved in far outweigh any of the time commitment that you have to make to be successful at what you're doing here.
Yeah. A lot of us, Quinn, picked up officiating after our kids finished their youth sports career or high school or college career, and had time on our hands and said, what am I going to do now? After being in the stands or watching or helping coach youth sports. So this is a great avocation to pick up later as well, people start saying, I have a lot of time on my hands, and I would love to be involved.
Excellent.
The officials come from a wide range of jobs. There's a lot of educators, high school teachers and administrators. There are tradesmen, plumbers, carpenters, electricians, some self-employed individuals, some people who work for large corporations, smaller corporations, salespeople. So there's you don't need to, it's not a pigeon-tail thing,
right.
So pigeonhole thing. So people come from all over in terms of what other jobs they have.
Excellent. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Again, class is starting May 3rd for you guys coming up. But just before we let you go, if there was anything else that you guys wanted to share.
If anybody's interested in our association, Eastern Mass Association of Interscholastic Football Officials, we have a website, emaifo.net. You can go to the website. There's all sorts of information there about becoming an official, so you can look at that. If you have any interest, any of the listeners have any interest in becoming officials, they can drop us an email.
Okay.
The email address is secretary@emaifo.net, or they can call us at 617-967-3220. That's secretary@emaifo.net, 617-967-3220. Training starts May 3rd. Will be our first class. We'll get you through the classes and then get you on the field in August.
Before that, Jack, they'll likely be in the flag leagues. No, I have the opportunity to be, but yeah.
Okay,
right,
so July we'll have some on-field experience. And we'll help you with your equipment, clothing that you'll need. We'll get you all set up and ready to go.
Awesome.
Quinn, I just encourage everyone to give it a shot. You know, if you get any any kind of thoughts at all that you might want to do this, give it a try. Give it 1 or 2 years. And, most people, I think, would definitely say it's one of the best things they've done.
Awesome.
As I would.
I think as good a pitch as there as any. It's, I'm sure, often a thankless job, but you guys are what make these sports go. Can't do it without you. So thank you very much, and I'm hoping that this helps bring in a crop of some recruits.
Well, thank you, Quinn, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah,
thank
no
you.
Problem. Thanks. All right, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, the Sports Exchange rolls on here.
Locally based and